Good evening and welcome to a very special edition of Radio EduTalk. My name is David Noble and I'm in Dalgety Bay in Fife in Scotland, and joined as ever by John Johnson, who's not so far away, I suppose, in the context of this evening's show. He's over in Glasgow. And just if you're listening to Radio EduTalk for the first time, we broadcast out of central Scotland, and it's very much an international education resource. We broadcast live every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. GMT and Thursday evenings at 7:45 p.m. GMT. And if you go to edutalk.cc, you can find out much more, including how you can get involved and indeed contribute educational audio at any point. So absolutely delighted to try out something which I think even, you know, well into the to this age of digital technologies and social web is a fairly innovative approach to, I suppose, pulling together a university course and even as a form of assessment. And what we have this evening is hashtag ED473 Communications and Education class at the University of Prince Edward Island in Canada, and the students are going to be talking around network communications for educators. Now, Bonnie Stewart, the tutor, is going to come in a moment just to explain much more about what's going to happen over the next 45 minutes or so. On our side of the Atlantic, if you go to edutalk.cc, you'll see a couple of links about how to listen live, so you can still got time to share that link with colleagues if they want to listen to the live show, or indeed the podcast, which will be archived afterwards. And we're also going to have a go at using TitanPad, which is similar, I think, to Etherpad that some of you might know, and that's just to aid our ongoing discussion during this evening's show. So without further ado, I would just like to say on behalf of John and I and the listeners in Scotland and this side of the Atlantic, thank you so much to Bonnie today for assisting and to all the students, and we're really looking forward to listening to what you have to say and also interacting later on in the show. Bonnie.
Ooh, well, thank you very much, John and David. My name is Bonnie Stewart. I am in Prince Edward Island, Canada, with 38 students in ED473 at the University of Prince Edward Island, and we are thrilled and nervous and excited and all of those things as I look around the room. This is, I think, a first for all of us and a really great opportunity, because this course is a communications course for pre-service teachers. And as part of what we did in this course, in addition to visual communications and nonverbal communications and learning about active listening, we also worked on networked communications. And part of the reason that I framed the course that way was because my belief as an educator is that real-world audiences matter. And so this opportunity to actually talk to the real world far beyond the bounds of our classroom is really valuable for us. What the students had to do to develop their personal learning networks or their networked communication skills this term, they partnered with some grade 7 students, actually just a few miles down the road from here, who blog, and they provided formative assessment feedback on those students' blogs. They never actually met face-to-face, but they were still sort of building both local and virtual networks in that format. But they also had to build Twitter accounts, and I know that for a lot of them that was a big challenge. But why would I do that when people only talk about their lunch? And they worked really, really hard this term to open some of their concepts of networked communications, and that's what they're going to tell you about. So I'm going to turn it over to ED473. We're going to have about 20 minutes where our students have prepared presentation, and then another 20 minutes or so where a different group of students will be fielding live questions. We have two hashtags. We totally invite another group of students will be live tweeting and answering questions on the hashtags, both hashtag ED473webcast, all one word, and the Radio EduTalk hashtag EDUTALK. We have a TitanPad link. If you look at either of those hashtags on Twitter, you will see the link to our TitanPad, where we have a whole other group of students who are ready for live conversation in more than 140 characters. So these folks have been learning a lot of different skills. And one of the biggest ones we've actually been learning is improv this term. And so this is an opportunity for us to really try a big live group improv as a team. So take it away. I'm going to turn you over to Michaela Robinson.
Sorry. Hello. Thanks for having us, first of all. What I'm going to do is just, I'm going to introduce this group. What we've come up with is a bunch of kind of reflections and experiences on different topics and different things that we did in the class. So as Bonnie mentioned, our communications class was a course that's required for the education program. And when we met Bonnie, we realized that this class was going to be like no other course we've ever taken. The first thing that she introduced to us was the Twitter. And for some of us who may have already had a Twitter account or are social media fanatics, it was a dream come true. But for the other half of the class or so, it was quite scary. But we all kind of complied and decided that we should definitely try this out. So we all created our Twitter accounts, and looking back, we've all kind of come up with the idea that this new technological social media communicating that we did in this class was definitely a success. It definitely opened our eyes, and it gave us the opportunity to build and promote ourselves through our PLNs, both as individuals and as educators. So I'm going to pass it on to Kayla, who is going to discuss one of the topics that we've come up with.
Okay. Hi. So I'm going to start kind of talking to you guys a little bit about the positive feedback that we had, thinking about kind of having to participate in social media so heavily in this course. And I'm only going to talk to you about the positive, because other presenters were kind of talk to you about some of the anxieties that they had as well. So the first kind of thing that I want to mention is this is kind of an example that's really only for one person, and I thought it was kind of interesting, so I wanted to share it. But this particular student really felt that being a part of this course was an opportunity for them to gain easy marks. And they thought that because they're so heavily involved in social media already, and they always were with their phone, so they took it as a really positive initial kind of thing. Secondly, this was a positive feeling, and it didn't come initially, but it came kind of after we begun to learn how to use Twitter and we started to engage in Twitter. But once we started to learn how to weed out all the things that we were seeing, we certainly saw the benefits of being users of Twitter and having that social media as a part of our development. Thirdly, this kind of a positive was like the really up-to-date interaction that we had from using social media, and the up-to-date interaction with kind of the current issues and different practices in education, not only locally, but we had the chance to kind of gather a sense for global things as well. And this really, we found, sparked discussions, certainly within our classmates, but also with educational leaders that we've never met before and who are, you know, living in different countries as well. And lastly, this was really a positive thing for some of the students in our class who are not actually from Canada. And they had commented that this really benefited them a lot, because it gave them an opportunity to be informed in some of the different ideas and the different approaches or beliefs to education and having a different kind of perspective on a different spot of the world. So that was really beneficial to them. And yeah, and that's pretty much the general idea of kind of our positive feedback.
Cool. So I'm Jennifer. I'm going to speak next. And as Kayla was speaking more so on the positive reflections that a lot of the students had, I'm going to talk a little bit about the sort of the mixed feelings, sort of the anxiety that most of us students had. So there was a lot of students that Twitter was actually new to them. Myself as well, it was new to me. So speaking for myself, it actually was sort of a nervous, kind of anxious, you know, new approach that I had to take towards a social media sort of aspect of communicating with others. So a lot of the students felt within the program, they felt it was sort of out of their comfort zone to actually sign up for Twitter and to use it as a media of connecting with other educators. But as Kayla highlighted, in the end, we actually found that there was actually a lot of beneficial aspects to it as well. But speaking more so on the anxious side, I think a lot of students were anxious sort of about being, you know, as I mentioned, being new about Twitter, sort of not really fully understanding sort of like the lingo and how it's set up and best being able to best communicate what they want to actually get across. Myself, I think I was nervous because I didn't know. I think I'm better at actually speaking than I am writing about anything. So I think for me to actually write something that I would want to be witty, that's going to be on the internet, actually made me really nervous. So I think a lot of my classmates felt that way as well. Also, too, one of our requirements was to tweet about 10 to 20 tweets a week. And for someone who is new at Twitter, that's sort of something to help raise the anxiety, I think. But so I guess sort of summing that up, I guess it's just sort of, as I mentioned, going out of their comfort zone and having to tweet as much as 10 to 20 tweets, I guess. So that's enough for me.
Yeah. Okay, so hi, I'm Sarah McIntyre, and I'm going to talk about how we built and grew our PLNs through communicating with the grade 7 class, as Bonnie mentioned earlier, in a blogging format. So this opportunity, first and foremost, was extremely beneficial. Ultimately, a PLN is those connections we make with others where we can learn, grow, and expand as individuals and educators. So that's kind of what the blogging experience was for the majority of us. Mr. Butler, who's the grade 7 teacher, was available to help us for anything we needed to guide us on this process of communicating with this class. He came in and taught us how to comment on the blogs, and then that connection even moved beyond the social networking to face-to-face for some of us as opportunities for tutoring became available, which was kind of neat to see a PLN move beyond just social networking. But the neat thing for me, and which I was not expecting at all, was these students became part of my PLN and probably a lot of ours as well, but I originally assumed that a PLN was supposed to be made up of people who were either at my educational level or beyond, assuming that they had something to teach me and I could learn from them and they could help me grow. But what surprised me the most was I was totally wrong on that front. The students were extremely beneficial to my PLN because they assisted my growth and learning as an educator. They helped me learn what grade 7s kind of learn in their schooling, how they think, how they write, how they develop, but also they helped me understand and develop an art, constructive, and positive feedback, which is a very important skill to have. And for me, I was originally, just for the primary or elementary years, a teacher. So grade 7 was, I don't know, kind of frightening for me, or I was nervous to speak to them because I thought, oh, perhaps they you need to speak to them in a highfalutin way. But actually, the biggest thing I learned is that they're all just students. They're all kids. They just want to have a nice little smile or a nice little comment and feedback. So this opportunity was great for building our PLNs.
Okay, so my name is Sarah also. I'm Sarah McKay, and I'm going to discuss the presentations we did on a topic of our choice. So in the beginning, there was definitely mixed emotions. Originally, it was planned to be an individual 10-minute presentation, which caused quite a stir in Ed 473. Students were either super nervous about having to stand in front of the class and present a topic of their choice, while other students found it might end up being a waste of valuable class time. So instead, our class opted to do it in pairs, which I think I speak for everyone when I say this decreased the level of stress surrounding the project by quite a bit. Some students were excited to choose their own topics to present. Having no structures or limits in an open floor seemed exciting and a great opportunity to present to the class something that either interested them or they felt passionate about. Others were a bit uneasy about not having specific guidelines or instruction to follow. However, looking back, we think it was a great success. It allowed us to discuss topics that illustrated our talents, interests, personalities, and teaching philosophies, as well as challenging our creative minds to somehow relate our topics to education in some way or another. There's an abundance of interesting, factual, and inspirational presentations, from teaching children with special needs to survival guide for first-year education students, even presentations on chocolate and oysters. The diversity of topics was quite impressive and enjoyable to watch and take part in. We learned a lot from this project. Having to connect all these topics to education and our teaching philosophies was challenging, but was definitely a rewarding experience. However, it was not only the presenters that had a responsibility to this project. We were each assigned a critical friend that would reflect on our presentation and offer us useful and encouraging feedback.
So I'm going to talk about our critical friends task. I'm Tatiana, I'm from Chile. And one of the tasks our critical friends had to do was to tweet while we were presenting in class. And afterwards, they had to write or draw a document highlighting what they liked the most about the presentation and make a wish for the next one. There are similar perspectives on this experience. Many people thought that it was helpful for the presenter to see what people took away from their presentations because everyone experiences things differently. On the other side, being a critical friend helped to build people up with compliments and provide feedback to maybe push them forward. However, there are some cons when tweeting during our presentation. Some classmates and I just struggled with this task because we felt that we couldn't concentrate 100% in our critical friends presentation, and we lost some parts of them. So live tweeting forced us to be more in tune with what the presentation was about and actually hearing the presenters that we normally would have. So I think that the general feeling among the class can be summarized in the following words. When I read the comments offered from the live tweeting of my presentation, it was a nice feeling to see that people were getting the points my partner and I wanted to share and thought we were important to the class to take away. It was a bit of a confirmation that we did our job the right way. So in my opinion, and summarizing the different emotions and responses to this task, we all accomplish and improve our critical thinking skills. And also, using Twitter as a way to provide feedback taught us to be more concerned and aware about how to be professional when using a network.
Okay, my name is Shirley, I'm from China. So for this semester, we are expected to engage in at least one real-time app check. So for this term, I participated in the first app talk. I find that everything goes so crazy fast. So if I have any chance, I mean, if somebody asked me to give some suggestions of live discuss, I will probably say never be late. Otherwise, you will be hard to jump in again. So we discussed the PLN with educators all around the world in the same time. This experience was quite interesting for me and opened my eyes of PLN. The only problem for me is everyone's Twitter goes too fast to keep up with all of them. So for me, I think it's quite easy to get lost in this information explosions. Some of my classmates did mention that they were able to add a few more people to their PLN and bookmarks some new resources. I do agree with that. I also think with less people, I am able to deep thinking, and it can also make our conversations meaningful because our voice can be heard clearly.
My name is Mindy, and I'm going to speak about how we were required to follow everyone in our class and our professor, as well as three educational leaders, and what that was like for us. So initially, some people were very nervous about following and being followed by people that they didn't personally know and would probably never meet, and also people who were more experienced than them. However, it turns out that following these people was a really great learning tool for us pre-service teachers. We were able to gain a lot of valuable resources, teaching ideas, and fun weekday pick-me-ups. We were also able to gain a sense of confidence while participating in discussion through the Twitter feeds. The connection that some of us felt with our educational leaders was a little less than what we felt with our classmates because we see them every day, but those connections were still important as they led us to open connections on Twitter. It was also nice to know that the educational leaders were there and interested in helping us out and that they would take time out of their busy schedules to do so. We also appreciate that they spread a huge wealth of knowledge with us. For some of us who had private accounts on Twitter, it was a little harder to engage with the educational professionals simply because they couldn't always see our comments and our posts. But that was something that we were able to overcome in our own way. I also really enjoyed following my classmates, as did a lot of the other people in the class. It was really interesting to see all the different types of articles and videos and links to lesson plans and ideas that we would share with one another. It was very encouraging, and I think we all worked really well together as a team, and I could see it being something that we keep up with and keep finding new resources for another way.
Thank you, Mindy. My name is Jamie, and I'm going to be discussing some of the benefits and some of the negatives about using Skype to connect with other people. Clearly, one of the benefits is we would not be able to join you tonight if we weren't connecting through Skype. We would all love to be able to grab our umbrellas, hop on an airplane, and meet you in person, but that's not always possible. So not only do we get to talk to people from near and far, but we also can talk to people who have a unique skill set, who have maybe a specialization that is unique or that you can only find that someone in another country, someone from far away can talk to you about. So it's a great opportunity to work with Twitter to meet people, and then you can actually video chat or use Skype to actually talk to them, quote, in person. Not only that, but there are financial restrictions, having to go to an airport, having to travel on a bus, going places, all sorts of restrictions in schools about traveling outside of the school, going on field trips. So being able to bring people face-to-face into a classroom is a great opportunity and something a lot of children haven't been able to do in the past. So using technology in that way is definitely a positive. Another thing that you can do with Skype or a video chat is you're able to look at web pages, you're able to look at documents during the chat itself, which is nice to have the same information shared with everybody. That way they can be on the same page, have the same information, actually know what you're talking about, and you can have the visual notes or the visual aids there to actually look at and explain as you're discussing. A couple of the negatives that could pop up, and this is a Ed 473 tip of the day. Technology can fail. Always have a backup plan. In addition to that, it's not the same as meeting someone in person. You can't always pick up on some of the nuances, some of the things that you get from meeting someone face-to-face, and nothing is quite like an old-fashioned handshake.
Okay. Thanks, Jamie, and hi, everybody. I'm Michelle. I'm also from China. As last part, I want to cheer everybody up. As we know, as future educators, get involved in social media means keep up to the newest information. So how to keep us visible will be very beneficial when our course is finished. There's no more support or assigned activities around us. So I just gave some small tips for everybody. At first, keep tweets. And this is the first and also foremost part for, step for all of us. Second, join more education chats, especially some live trading, so can expand our PLMS building. And third, don't afraid to be yourself. Share your own perspective with others, especially with professionals. They need your voice too. No tweets can backflow, and also each tweet has their own voice in your PLM building. Thank you, everybody.
For ourselves. This is Bonnie again, and that was our 10 students who prepared their reflections. And now what we're going to do is turn the conversation back to you, John and David, and to six other students who will be taking questions live by audio, as well as if anybody has specific questions for the folks spoken. I just wanted to say I really appreciated all of those reflections, folks. The only part that I found funny was when you said you thought you had to be witty on Twitter. And if you looked through my years and years of Twitter feed, you should have realized that clearly not everybody is witty on Twitter, but there are lots of other ways to participate. So please, we turn it over to you for questions and discussion.
Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic so far. Really enjoying the input and sounding great. I'm sure John and others will be keeping an eye on the Twitter hashtags. I've just got a couple of questions at this point, and I'm a Scot with a Scottish accent and a cold, so I better speak slowly. My first question is, one of the early speakers mentioned that you could interact with educational leaders on Twitter. And I just would like to know if that worked in practice. My hunch would be that many educational leaders will already have their PLN in place and might be full up in terms of their timeline. So did anybody have success in being followed by educational leaders or having a conversation with educational leaders? And if there was success, maybe give us a tip about how you managed to do that.
Yeah, this is Danielle Smith. We're just going to start our feedback on the questions. And that's a great question. I think for me personally, it started with our live tweeting with the EduChat talk on Twitter. And that's kind of where I first got a good foundation in following some educational leaders. I got to connect with some people who had some similar interests in career-wise, and they had some really great tips and resources that I could use in my classroom and use to kind of keep myself organized as an educator. And from there, we kind of talked in the live tweeting and carried it into email, actually. And so that was a great response that I got from the live tweeting experience.
And I'm just kind of going to build off what Danielle's saying. I'm Julie Lannon, by the way. I thought it was really great because people were very supportive of us as well, even though they had built up their PLNs already and already had a wide variety of people who they were connected with. They were really supportive of us and willing to share all of their resources and information that they had.
And I'm Kent Blinkhorn, and from what my experience in reading my classmates' final reflections, it seemed that we gained our confidence through talking with people that we kind of knew would respond, almost like in the local community, in the local education community, and who were introduced to who we were introduced to through the class, and that that really enabled us to go and reach out just a little bit further than a little bit further. So even if it didn't happen in those latter two, I think the requirement was three, whatever everyone did was up to their own after that, but it, like, getting that confidence rate at the start, it really helped pushing and continue asking questions and then just throwing it out there.
This is Jenna McDonald here. I found that once I got more comfortable with using Twitter and talking on Twitter, I just kind of started to find people that my classmates were following, And eventually I just started adding people like left, right, and center. So I have a lot of people that I'm following. Not all of them, probably not even half of them, follow me back. The ones that I did engage with, though, whether I initiated the conversation or they kind of said, like, who are you? it was great to have that experience and to have those opportunities to speak with these people. And I know that they're there. I know that I have a way to contact them in the future if I do have any questions, any concerns, if I'm looking for any advice from someone in a similar field. So I definitely am pleased with how I've built my PLN on Twitter.
And I think, this is Sarah McIntyre again, I think Twitter, the whole premise is that you're connecting with people. And so it's a space that people know that they're going to talk with others. So we're all learners, and I think that people realize that and appreciate that. So if we branch out, for the most part, hopefully they'll branch back and kind of talk to us and start that discussion.
This is Bonnie, and I just wanted to jump in on this. The big reason why I actually made the reach out to three leaders a key part of Twitter participation in this course is because we are so conditioned institutionally to treat people and distances between people as something not to be crossed. It's very intimidating to reach out to someone that you don't know, or to reach out to someone in a power position that's different from yours. And I mean, that depends on personality and all those factors, but most of us as human beings find that challenging. One of the things that Twitter can do is, I don't think it levels any playing fields, but I think that it does make it possible for more peer-to-peer type communications across hierarchy, and I really wanted the students to at least go through the process of just giving that a shot. How does it feel to stretch out and reach out to that person? People's networks, you're right, John, I think it was you who mentioned, you know, a lot of people who are ed leaders really already have their PLNs. The higher you go, if you go to somebody whose scale is huge, so one of our students reached out to Bill Nye, the science guy. He's awesome, but he didn't write back because he's a celebrity, and celebrities don't write back to you. Whereas if you're dealing with that step down of an engaged, active network leader, we have people like Kathy Cassidy, who has like 8 or 9,000 people in her Twitter feed. She wrote back to our students. She connected. She's a grade one teacher out West, and she shared some of her ideas. So people who do have a really big scale but are still in it for the network are the people that I was kind of hoping that these folks, you know, might have a chance to connect with. And a lot of them made those efforts and, you know, got at least one conversation going. And it was mostly for proof of concept. It would be wonderful, you know, if all of those were blossomed into wonderful partnerships. But I felt like the students were really successful in taking that first step of, I'm just going to write to someone I don't know, because that's a big first step. Ken.
But at the same time, I don't know if this is actually connected to my PLN or education, but I just wanted to like kind of counteract that last point about reaching out to celebrities. I got to talk baseball with one of my like baseball heroes, and just out of the blue, I responded to something that they said, and it felt really good to have that conversation. So even if you, and I wasn't expecting to get anything back from them.
That's awesome.
So
it does occasionally happen.
Yeah, it does occasionally
happen. David Bowie's son once wrote to me back on Twitter. David Bowie himself, I have a bit of a David Bowie problem for Scotland. In case you ever find him, please send him to PEI. But yes, his son is on Twitter, and he did write me back once, and that was very exciting. But generally, you know, the bigger the scale of the account, the less likely they are to engage in an equals kind of way. Any other questions?
Before David gets started, I think he's got a pile lined up. He's going through Twitter at the moment, checking out what's been happening. I just like to get my questions in because I've got a mic and I'm not on Twitter, so I've got an advantage here. Firstly, fantastic stuff. There's been a great pile of congratulations and excitement on Twitter. I can vaguely see Etherpad behind or Titanpad behind the windows with stuff streaming by there. So just congratulations to everybody for pulling this together. I found the presentations super. I'm hoping maybe you could dig in a wee bit more into the work with the blogs was it year seven? Or I don't. I'm guessing that would be the same as what we call primary seven here in Scotland. And you talked a bit about what you, as students, got out of commenting and working with these pupils. And what do you think the pupils got out of it?
From what I saw, they were very grateful and very pleasingly accepting of what we kind of had for feedback. I think it was just a great experience for everyone involved, and to have kind of a different voice saying, you know what, like, I'm seeing what you're doing, and you're doing a great job. And then with our private comments, we were able to say, you've been, like, I love how you did this. You did this in a fantastic way. I'd like to see you maybe expand on this certain area. So it was a great way to really to connect with them and actually have a conversation, because a lot of us did go back and forth with the students more than just the comments.
I think also for the students, it just gave them an audience, and I think that was important for them with their blogging. It just kind of made that more important to them, knowing that someone was there to read their blogs and that someone cared about what they were writing.
An audience, and I think that was important for them with their blogging.
So there's a sort of parallel, I feel, between their experience and your experience, perhaps. David, have you got a question or two from the Twitter stream?
Yeah, we've got your good colleague, Ian Stewart, who's a school leader and woodwork teacher.
I'm not hearing you, David.
Is that better?
Just 1 second.
Can you hear me now, Bonnie? Yeah, can you hear me now, Bonnie?
Oops. Oh, lost him. I'm guessing people will still be able to hear me. I'm just going to pull Bonnie back in. I've just declined her call, which will put me nowhere.
John, can you hear me?
I can hear you, David. And I'm just going to have a wee listen on my phone to see if the rest of the world can hear us too. I'm ringing Bonnie. Technology's
gone. Hello! Sorry, I was on the computer.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. We started to talk about Ian Stewart and things just went away.
Yeah.
I'll blame him tomorrow.
Ian's a good colleague of ours, and he's presently working for the Scottish Government. Ian's a school leader and a woodwork teacher from one of the islands to the west of mainland Scotland. I'm just going to throw in a couple of his comments and questions. He asks, how long did it take to get into the comfort zone during the project? He also asks, you know, do you agree that instant feedback, the likes of you might get over Twitter, can be very useful in many situations? And it also kind of suggests that a critical friend, as we're doing this kind of work, I suppose a critical friend right throughout your professional life is very useful, and Johnny actually quotes you as his critical friend.
Ian's just my friend. He doesn't criticise me, thankfully. I'm at the moment outside my comfort zone by a fairly long way, and Ian is a steadying, a rock influence. So thanks, Ian. Cheers.
So a few comments from Ian there, if anybody wants to come in.
Yeah, I'd like to answer the question about how you get comfortable with your PLN. And in my experience, and I think for myself, I don't know if I'd ever be fully comfortable, because it's always something that you're growing and you want to make it bigger and better. And you're trying to constantly improve yourself, not only for yourself, but for your classroom too, in our case. So I think in that regard, we're always trying to reach more people and to put ourselves out there again and again. And I don't know if that ever gets to be comfortable or second nature. And I think it goes back to what Bonnie said too. It depends on your personality, big time. And for me, I think I would always kind of want to keep myself to be a little bit nervous, because then that means I'm trying something that's out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Anybody else on that one? I'm still out of my comfort zone 7 years into using Twitter. And it's not actually that I'm trying to get bigger any longer, but rather that I'm still trying to connect at a certain scale, right? And so managing that is a different thing too. As your PLN gets big, connecting to all the people who may reach out to you becomes a different kind of job. Jenna?
I was actually a new Twitter user at the time the class started, so I didn't really understand the concept at all. So it probably took me a couple of weeks to really understand how the program works, how you're supposed to talk to people, how to reach out to other people. And I mean, after a couple of weeks, I started getting more comfortable. I wouldn't say that I'm yet completely myself on there, but I mean, there are things that you have to leave off the internet as well, which is important to remember. But I mean, it was a great experience and all. To kind of build off of what Bonnie said about reaching out to people, the first person that I reached out to, like another professional, kind of somebody I didn't know, somebody that wasn't in the class, I got a little bit afraid. So I sent them a tweet, and they tweeted back at me, and I got very, very timid, and the conversation didn't go very far because of that. But I mean, as I've gotten more and more into the course, I felt a lot more comfortable, and I've had great chats with a lot of great educators since then.
Cool. Can you remind us of the other questions, David or John? Sorry, they...
Oops. David,
yeah, I'm still here, so I'm busy looking for more questions. Well, one of the other ones that Ian's posed is, do you feel like social media, for example, Twitter, and I notice other people have been mentioning Facebook and Vine, etc., which you might want to refer to your experiences there. But Ian's asking, do you feel that these are flattening hierarchies? I suppose that would be either within a state education system or indeed within a school?
Anyone want to gather that?
I think it can definitely break down some barriers that we see. I mean, with people who you aren't usually able to speak to, especially people in different parts of the world, it really creates a space where you can reach out to them, and if they don't reach back, then that's okay. You can't really take offense to that because, again, they're thinking, who are you? In some instances, or they may not think that your conversation is relevant, which happens, and you just have to kind of realize that that's okay.
Institutions, like educational institutions, are by their nature hierarchical, right? And people have their set roles. And one of the things that I find about teaching with Twitter that is always actually terrifying for me as an instructor and also really exciting is that it breaks down some of the power distance in the role. And so, you know, when you have a bunch of students who are clearly a little bit grumpy on Twitter and kind of subtweeting, and you're reading that, it's an interesting experience that you otherwise would not have as an instructor. At the same time, you also get to gradually over time build these day-to-day kind of casual communications with the people in your class so that, you know, for instance, at one point, Scott, you sent me a picture of a David Bowie mugshot. Now, probably you would never have shown up to class with that on paper. That'd be too keen. But on Twitter, well, maybe you would have. Good for you. But on Twitter, you have the chance to sort of build some ties there that you otherwise might not, or find places of affinity or shared communication that just allow for a little bit of a more casual relationship. If you're going to teach with Twitter, you need to be prepared for that and willing to stand in the middle of it. But I would not say it flattens hierarchies, but I do think that it does bridge some of the distance that they create.
Thanks a lot. I'm just streaming through some of the tweets and things that are out there at the moment, and you're saying more questions, but it's quite hard to keep up, and you guys are answering them quite as fast as they're been asked, I think. But Catherine Cronin, who works in Ireland now, is wondering if the students there feel your identities as future teachers have developed or changed or strengthened by your Twitter engagement. So is there anything in the Twitter engagement that would help you as a teacher?
So,
I just like to kind of touch on the fact that I've had Twitter for 3 years now and have almost 2,000 tweets that I've sent out over those years. And coming into this course, it really made me realize that what I was sending out there, people were actually seeing, not just my followers here on the island, but other people in other places. So it really made me grow up a little bit and mature as to thinking who's going to see what. And I didn't want to just put out things that might make people laugh, but more so to make a difference to who was seeing these things and tweeting valuable advice or links to great articles, and not just, you know, petty tweets that people would look over, have a laugh, and then forget about. I think it really made me realize that going into a profession where you have to constantly be aware of what you say and what you do really made me, I guess, mature in that aspect. It really made me think that, you know, I have a certain role as a teacher, and I have to respect that, and not only in the classroom, but on social media as well.
Just also to kind of piggyback on Sarah's comment, I think that it helped me as a future educator because it's another thing that I can then add to my teacher toolbox. I can go to Twitter and find an activity for my grade 5 science class if I have nothing to come up with on my own. It's another place where I can go and ask for advice and possibly get quicker feedback than sending a long, lengthy email to someone who might be too busy to read it within the next 24 hours. So I think it's great, just again, to kind of give you those quick, fast ideas that you might have never thought of on your own. And you're connecting with people all over the world, so you're not just confined to that local school that you're in or the local community of ideas that just keep kind of repeating over and over. You've got a vast majority to pick from now.
And in terms of creating an identity for ourselves, like as teachers, I think that's why a lot of us were nervous coming into it, because with the tweets, it's like Sarah said, it's online and it's there, and now you're thinking about what you're saying and how you're saying it and how other people will perceive it. And I think what's tough is that we're still kind of finding out who we are as teachers, so we're not yet there. So I think that's the difficult part, because we're still growing as teachers.
And I fully respect and understand that. I think the only thing I would say, 20 years after finishing my B.Ed., you never get there, right? Hopefully. The best thing is if you as a teacher, you keep being a lifelong learner and you will change. No one, again, unless you end up having 90,000 people following you on Twitter, nobody's ever going to go back to those first 10 awkward tweets or whatever, honest to God, really. But you're right. You do have to make that road by walking it, and it takes great courage. And I have really, really appreciated the courage of everybody in this class sort of finding their own path to making an identity as a professional educator. It's been pretty neat to watch.
Brilliant. Could I just maybe refine the question a wee bit by asking, do you think that the sort of skills you learn on Twitter help you as as somebody talking to an audience of young people, and perhaps sometimes young people you don't know that well?
I think it does. Like, kind of the consensus of what we're talking about here is that we kind of had to find ourselves on Twitter and kind of find our own identity and how we were going to talk to these educators and how we were going to talk to each other on Twitter, even though we see each other in class every day. So I think it does help us to kind of get into the perspective of who we're talking to and know our audience and kind of get a sense of what we're going to say. So it kind of makes us more aware, I guess, of where we are and who we're talking to, because there are a ton of different situations that we find ourselves in every day. And I think it helps us to be more prepared, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it just helped us to become more professional too as to what we're saying and how we're saying it.
I think it also kind of defines a new type of personality for each individual. So, I mean, I've got my personal life, and then my life at UPEI, and then my life
during my practicum, and they're all slightly different. I mean, I'm not too outrageous of a person in any essence of my life, but then I do have this new kind of personality on Twitter where I'm kind of trying to say, like, hey, like, I found this awesome resource. You should all check it out. It might be useful for you. And it's just, like, a nice way to learn how to talk to different people about different things that you might not usually be able to have those conversations with.
Thank you.
Oh, and Kayla would like to jump in there too.
Oh, sure, Sarah.
I just wanted to point out also that because we had like a limited amount of characters that we could use, we also had to really think about how we were going to structure what we wanted to say, and we had to kind of simplify it. And so that's good practice for especially working with younger kids that I've had to do because I'm in the early years. So yeah, it was good practice to kind of think about the words that you use and the effect that they have.
Thanks. I hope you guys are keeping up or will keep up with the responses you're getting online, because there's Catherine Cronin coming back and saying thanks for the thoughtful responses to the identity question. And in fact, she's impressed with your reflections, and she says you're already great teachers. And I think you'd have a hard job arguing with that at the moment.
Yes, they are. Do we have any tying up questions that either you or our folks want to pose?
Bonnie, I've got one final question that I suppose but possibly doesn't give you the opportunity to tie up at this stage, but you know, possibly look into the future somewhat. Now, in Scotland, for in-service teachers, there's a real emphasis now on lifelong professional learning, or in the past we would have called it continuous professional learning and CPD. So with the teachers who are with you today, Bonnie, are pre-service teachers and will soon be moving to become in-service teachers, and I'd like to know what they think the best, most sustainable and helpful CPD or professional learning will be as they move into their careers. Will it be face-to-face events, Twitter, other tools that are out there online? Will it be in school in the state or further afield? Will it be credit-bearing or non-credit-bearing? I'd like, if you just kind of gaze into the future, what do they think their professional learning will look like in the years to come?
Get out your crystal balls, folks.
All right, my name's Scott Hay. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us today. I guess what I want to say about Twitter is it promotes lifelong learning. So after you leave the classroom that we're in today, we can take the network wherever we're at and build on it. No matter where we're at, whatever's going on in our lives, that will always be a part of us. And it is important as educators to grow this no matter what's going on in your life. It is a part of you, and it will develop as you develop as an educator. And thank you again.
Anybody else? I guess, is it like what you feel is your best way to develop?
Yeah, what kinds of professional development, where do you think we're going with professional development? Twitter's one thing we can certainly all do individually as professional development. Like, so we don't need that designed and handed to us from the top down. But what other kinds of professional development do you see in education, either using networks or not?
I'm kind of big on face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the best ways to learn, especially being in practicum and then having school and classes in the university. I find I learn so much more from hands-on and being in it than just reading a paper or a book on it or something like that. So I find you get more more information and more stuff to gather than just an article.
Yeah, I'm always wary, in the Ed Futures predictions game that media seems to be so big on these days. We're always hearing about the next thing that's going to be the be-all and the end-all. I'm not sure, I hope, actually, that we never hit a be-all and an end-all, right? We have multiple communications media, multiple means of communications, multiple ways of learning as human beings, and So my preference is always when we can find ways to make things hybrid as much as possible, because what works for me might not work for the person across the room from me. And if we have multiple options, even in the same setting, right, so that we can build on the things that where we have strengths or where we're able to focus, then you get professional learning that works for the most people. I really love the back channel that we have going on right now in this room. There are 39 of us in this room, and more than half are tweeting back and forth and Titan padding back and forth to each other and people in the world. I would love to see more face-to-face professional learning for teachers also include that kind of discussion and that kind of networking, not replace it. I don't want to see Twitter become the way that we do all of our educational professional development, because, you know, most of us can't be that concise all the time. But I would love to see us incorporate some of the networked capacities and communications abilities that we have in the world today to the conventional ways of learning, so that people who want to take advantage of that or who learn better with a back channel can do that too. And you can still just be there listening if that's what works for you. I'm seeing a bit of that happening. I'm certainly seeing more of it at conferences. When you go to an education conference now, there is almost always a hashtag, almost always a way to continue the conversation afterwards. And so all of you guys had the chance when you did your presentations to see the live tweets after, right? Did you enjoy reading those? Did that give you some sense of kind of how you were received? I really find those valuable when I present, and I love that as a part of professional development. I would not want Twitter to replace other means of professional development. Jenna?
I mean, in my opinion, there's nothing more valuable than like a genuine face-to-face interaction. I mean, there's more to chatting with people than just like the words that they're saying. There's also kind of like the hidden messages, the body language, and I think that
stuff we study.
I think that just seeing these people talking face to face is just like an invaluable experience, and thankfully, I don't think that'll ever go away.
So one of the things that I'd be interested in doing is there's always been a huge pile of tweets, Titan pads, all sorts of activities going together. I hope that somebody over there is going to do the hard work and storify the tweets. I hope we're going to archive the Titan pad. I'll certainly post the audio to EduTalk, and I would love it if I could link to the Titan pad if you're going to. So I don't know.
Yeah, we have Nicole is working hard to get the gist of the main conversation down. We will make that link available to you for sure.
That's just brilliant. Yeah, and I don't know at one point I thought that question was for us. This idea of what do we think good personal learning, and this kind of ties into the point about face to face. I think the chance is that face to faces can be playful, and there are opportunities for online communication to be playful, and I think that's a great space to learn in, where you're not frightened. You're not frightened to take off and riff off something and take your own ideas and bounce things around, and I think that's a good place to learn professionally or otherwise.
I think so too. I'm always happy to see play and learning at any age. I think we need to say goodbye because this is our final class. We have evaluations to do and farewells. But thank you so much, David and John and Scotland and Nathan Cronin and Ian Stewart, I think was the name, and everyone who participated, everyone who showed up on TitanPad and on Twitter. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for giving us a real-world audience. We really appreciate it. And thank you to all my students for being awesome.
I think we just say thank you from us, because it's been great fun, really interesting to listen to. There has been far too many people on Twitter to mention and say thanks to, and there was a lot of questions that we saw fly by that we didn't ask, but I think the class picked most of them up. Thanks very much, David.
Yeah, so just thanks very much to Bonnie for pulling this together and to Dave. I can't wait to read through everything on TitanPad, and we'll make sure that the Storyfy link and TitanPad link will be posted along with the audio in the next couple of days. So, you know, spread the word. I think this is we talk about the difficulties in multitasking, but certainly there's just such a rich seam of information and sharing and discussion. I, for one, just can't wait to actually have a look through the entire kind of TitanPad journey that some of us have gone through this evening. And with that in mind, we've mentioned many names, but Graham Pate from the University of Glasgow, he's been in TitanPad for the duration of the show, and has really helped and worked with the students at UPEI to make that a great experience for many. So thanks to Graham, and just best wishes to all the students for the rest of your course and your practicum and such like, and I hope everything goes well and that you join the profession in the coming years. And if we've already had, since we mentioned that this show was going to take place, we've already had a couple of Canadian students mention that they might be interested in coming over to work in Scotland, so you've certainly got a few contacts now if you want to follow that up. Scotland's a wonderful country, we have a great education system, and you'd be more than welcome to join us in the years to come. So best wishes to everybody.
You'd be lucky to have any of these guys and girls. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Cheers. I'm hanging up now.